Hi, I'm Sean Nolan, and this is What I'm Grateful For Today. For the final episode of the third season, I'm sitting down with my boyfriend Ryan to talk about the lessons and experiences we're grateful for having had over the course of our relationship so far.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't know what... It's funny, because whenever I do these normally, I normally have to say, like, hi, Abby, or that's just because it was the last person that was on. But calling you by your name actually feels really quite uncomfortable.
The man that needs no introduction.
Well, if you want to put it that way. You're also the first person I've recorded with in person since the first episode I did with Grandma.
It's an honour.
So...
It's an honour.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. We've just been away for a nice weekend, so I'm still on the high from that, to be quite honest with you. We've had a nice lazy day today.
It's lovely.
So, in a pretty good mood from that, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
And then leading on to our conversation today, to round up the third season of the show, I thought it would be a good idea to have my boyfriend Ryan on the show to talk about things we're grateful for in our relationship. Because quite a lot of the time, I share things I'm grateful for that link back to our relationship. And I thought people listening might appreciate hearing some of it from the horse's mouth.
It's tough being famous.
Or from my mouth. To your face in particular. And for anyone wondering any background noise and why it sounds different this week to normal, it is because the two of us are sat on top of the bed. The fan has to be off because it makes too much noise. So it's absolutely a million degrees in here. So if you hear any moving, it is shuffling around to make sure we don't stick to the sofa or the pillows or to the wall or something because it's so sweaty in here. Anyway, moving on from sweat, let's talk about things we're feeling grateful for. Why don't you start, our dear guest? Why don't you start today with things you're feeling grateful for?
The first one is more something I've learned throughout our relationship. And that's, you don't need common interests to have a good bond with someone.
Right.
So basically, we have very different interests, but I feel like our souls are very similar. You know, we've got similar morals, similar goals to achieve within us as a couple. Which means that without similar interests, we can and have grown a very strong bond.
I feel like... The good thing about having different interests is that we have a lot of other things to explore as well.
We're not always doing the same thing.
Exactly. And we always seem to come back together with very different things to talk about.
Absolutely.
Or interests to show one another. Like this past weekend, we've done some of your interests, didn't we? On Saturday, went to the Emirates Stadium.
Done a tour of the Emirates, yeah.
Which I never would have done.
Absolutely not. Asked you a couple of years ago if you would be doing that.
What a changed life I live. And then today we watched a bit of Sex and the City, which is also something you would not have done a while ago.
I know, I've never seen that, but I really enjoy it these days.
And Devil Wears Prada.
Love that film.
Which you like watching
never,
as well.
Never seen it in my life, but love it now.
So I feel like there's a lot of things like that have been good. But I also feel like we don't actually do too many things that are the other person's interest.
Yeah.
So it forces us to go and do things.
Trying different things, yeah.
Yeah, things that are new, I think, and find... new shared interests as opposed to ones that one of us already has and adopting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think makes it interesting and dynamic for us. Because we both have quite different, when it comes to our interests, your primary interests are maybe obviously football you quite enjoy, gaming, things like that, which are things that are never on my radar.
Yeah, like a bit of Switch, a bit of Pokemon.
I don't mind a bit of that, I suppose. But that's been by...
But, yeah.
Not even brute force, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but I've grown to like it. It's an acquired taste for me. And then that's the same as some of my interests, you know, and things that I go and do. I mean, we haven't been able to go to the theatre yet, which is kind of insane. We've been together for a year. We've actually never done that. Having said that, I've barely done that in the past year, obviously due to COVID, which has been quite interesting, actually. I mean, that's an important comment to make, probably.
We've only been together throughout the whole of lockdown.
You were saying
much.
That the other day, weren't you, when you're looking at photos of us, and that most photos, even from the beginning, involve masks or something else happening.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is pretty crazy that we have, because that's really limited in things that we've been able to do, because for such a long time, we didn't really do anything.
Yeah, because we weren't able. We
had no choice.
House for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming to mine, yeah.
So, I think I agree with you. I think that is a good thing to be grateful for, about having different interests. And I'd say that it's taught me that if I were to make new friendships or whatever in the rest of my life, that they don't need to share common interests. It's more about who you are as a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I suppose by extension, that suggests that you aren't what you're interested in, which I think for a very long time I pinned a lot of myself on. I thought what I was interested in was what made me interesting or what made me whatever.
No, it's more who you are as a person, isn't it?
Mm. I think that's, I've really learned that over this past year, and I think I've really started to feel it, in that I could sustain the most intense relationship, I suppose, of my life, in that, you know, no friendship has I've ever had has had as much focused time together as we've had over this past year. I feel like that's really shown to me I could sustain many different relationships with different people in the future. Friendships, of course, that's what I'm trying to say. Their relationship, that sounded really unnerving.
Mm, yeah.
Many different friendships in the future with people that don't share similar likes to me.
Yeah, because if you're the same, like, morally, you get along just fine.
Exactly. Right, first thing that I'm feeling grateful for today, then, is that I believe you have done a lot for me relaxing as a person, which is quite ironic because I think maybe I'm a bit more pent up sometimes than I used to be. I get a bit nervous about things than I ever used to. But I definitely, before you, was much more of an anxious, not anxious person, much more of a stressy person.
On edge.
Yeah, on edge. Serious person. I'm on edge in a different way sometimes now. But I definitely used to be quite straight-laced about things, I think. And I wouldn't allow myself to have unadulterated fun, like relaxed fun. Everything was quite organized fun and serious fun. And I feel like since I met you, you're very good at relaxing.
Just chill out.
And chilling.
And I work hard all week, so.
Yeah.
Work hard, relax hard.
Yeah. And I don't think I was ever very good at relaxing hard until I met you. And then now I feel like I can kind of be a bit more at ease, I suppose, in myself.
Right.
Do you feel like you've identified that in yourself for a while, that you are a bit like that?
Yeah, I'd say so, definitely, yeah.
Mm.
Basically, the next thing that I feel grateful for is the fact that you have given me the confidence to come out of my shell and become the man I always sort of thought I was or knew I was. Because prior to you, you know quite well, I was in quite a bad way. And not many people know this, probably of your friends, but I was in a very bad way for quite a long time.
Mentally, not physically.
Mentally. Well, we could say physically as well. Anyway, I struggled for quite a long time with a lot of mental illnesses. So I think in the past year, you've definitely shown me how to come out of my shell.
What have I done that's done that, though?
Just
that's a very nice thing to say. Thank you.
You've built me up well and just given me the confidence to show me that I am actually, you know, a good guy and deserve everything that you've given me.
I do think, when I've spoken to people in your family and stuff, and people that know you about that, and they've said that that person was in there and they was waiting to come out, I would agree. I could see that in you. But like, there's a lot of you that's like,
I think
untapped potential seems like the wrong phrase, but it's something along that line.
It's similar, yeah, because I always knew that I could be how I am today, you know, outgoing, you know, have a laugh. But I could never do it because of my anxiety and my depression and things like that. Mm. But I feel like in the past year, you've definitely shown me that I can do it and just given me the confidence to go and do it.
I'm glad I've done that. That's good. It's funny because I wouldn't, I never would have, I don't know, not considered it before we got together, but I never really sat and thought about being in a relationship as a lot about not taking on someone else's problems, but definitely embracing them, or at least working with them.
Yeah, work with them.
I'd never really thought about that before. I'd never stopped and sat down and thought that's something I'm going to have to do. I thought a lot about how, like, well, oh, you'll just end up coming together.
They chucked you in at the deep end of me.
But it's been interesting because I think had that not been a hurdle that you needed to overcome, I don't think we'd be as, I don't think we'd understand each other as deeply as we do now.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of the reason
I was very closed doors, wasn't I?
Well, yeah, that was a big problem that we had really early in the beginning, was that as a result of being like that, it becomes quite difficult to communicate.
Put your guard up.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to break that down.
Which is then difficult, obviously, to build a relationship.
Mm.
I think, obviously, you knew at the beginning that the way to then build a close relationship with someone is to make a change to that. And
kudos
to you, you somehow managed to dig within and start to shift that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Because communication in that part, I think I said about this in an episode with relationship coach Susan Winter a few episodes ago. We were talking about communication and I know that everyone always says about relationships, the key to it is communication. Mm. But I would say that's one thing that I've managed to learn really well between the two of us in the past time. Obviously, yeah. You have in the same way.
Well, because obviously at the start, it was like, I just put my guard up and that was that. And we've had many talks about it and I've definitely worked on it. And now here we are today.
Yeah. I think that's a testament really to building any good, sturdy relationship is sit down and have a talk about it.
Yeah.
And communicate it as clearly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like now it's funny, I was talking to one of my friends the other day and she was having issues with the boy she was talking to, and she'd said, you know, should I say this? And I can already instinctively be like, no, you don't phrase it like that. If you phrase it like this, you'll get clearer communication out of it. You'll end up targeting it the right way. I feel like we've really mastered
what to say.
That. I remember we had a tiff. You and I had like a tiff over text, let's say like 2-3 months ago. And I remember you'd sent a long response back and I was with my friend Leanne and I was just going, it was something so simple. It must have been something to do with like, something to do with work or something random.
Yeah.
And she was like, what did he say? And I read the text. She was like, oh my God, he's like got a script for good communication. He like knows exactly the right points to hit. And I was like, it is an important thing that you come to, is learning how to express how you feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And coming out of your shell, not only for your relationship, but for anything that goes on. And it's the only way that you're going to get the best out of a situation, I think.
Yeah. And then leading on to that as well is like how you managed to cope with my mental illness. You know, you're very patient. You look after me so well, and you're pushing me definitely towards recovery. I'm pretty much there. Obviously, you know, I still have a few anxieties and things, but you know, you look after me well,
yeah,
and cope with me very well. You're very patient.
That's hard for me because I always, people on the podcast always know that I'm not a very patient person. I've said a lot of times. So being, but it's funny that you'd say I'd be patient about something.
You're late to everything, but you're patient.
That's true. Yeah.
Never on time, but you're patient.
Well, I'm glad you feel like that because I do try and be like that. And I feel the same way backwards about you, of course. There are so many things that I'm not an easy person to put up with. People listening might be very surprised to know that I'm actually quite a difficult person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll freely admit it. But it does take a lot for somebody to want to put up with that, I'm sure. Or stomach it, or work with it, or be patient with it. So I think maybe we're both patient with one another.
Well, you've worked with me through a lot of hard times for myself, so of course I'm going to be there for you when it goes sour.
I think it's just a big part of a relationship, isn't it, that you want to help someone be better, or be the absolutely. Best version of who they are.
Yeah, definitely.
That's how I feel about you.
Mm.
And I'm sure you probably feel the same way about me, I'd like to think.
Yeah, of course.
So that's, it's almost, like, of course I would, you know, like, of course, what else would I do? Like,
yeah.
That's my job. Like, I want that out of you. So I feel the same way about friendships, I think, as well, you know, especially close friendships, but obviously most definitely in our relationship, for sure.
Definitely.
I can't find any link between that and the next thing I'm feeling grateful for. But the next thing I'm feeling grateful for is a bit more on a bigger scale of my life. And I'll have to come to it in a bit of a roundabout way. So I feel like for most of my life, I have majority had female friends, and if I've had male friends since I've been about 9-10 years old, they've been male friends are quite similar to me in many different respects, predominantly same interests. Like my closest male friend Kyle, we became really good friends because we both had a really deep shared interest in the same kind of films, television, theater. That was the main reason we grew together. And of course, therefore, when we're about 10 or 11, you don't have that much of a personality, I suppose.
Mm.
You know, hasn't developed yet. That's very easy to do that.
Young whippersnapper.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, we're still friends now, but that's because we grew together. But I've never in recent years in my life found it easy to initiate a friendship with many boys. And I think as a result, I found, I don't know if it's something to do with being gay or what the deeper philosophy within it is, but making friendships with boys, I've always found really difficult. Who don't have a shared interest, the same things as me, really.
Right.
Or even in general, to be quite honest with you, flat out, doesn't matter what kind of boy they are. But obviously the fact that we have a very close relationship and spend all this time together, it's changed my confidence in sustaining friendships with males.
Right.
And I'd especially say that's prevalent to me in the relationships with males in your family.
Yes.
Yeah, If I hadn't been with you and I just met them, I don't know, let's say that you were my friend and they were your family. I don't think I'd be able to do it. I think I'd be nervous about it. I'd think they were probably being very, I don't know, I would just have so many anxieties about it.
Yeah, I get that.
I'd find it really difficult. But because of our close relationship and the fact that, well, you know, there's no need to really explain that in much more detail, I feel like I have the confidence now that I would have no shame in sustaining... Shame is actually the word. That obviously comes out of me naturally for a reason. That I would have no shame or difficulty in sustaining friendships with males now.
Mm, you and my dad are like that.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't really realised, I think, that I had difficulty in sustaining those relationships until I've sat down and thought about it now.
Mm.
I always just thought, oh, well, I just gravitate towards girls because it's easier, we have shared interests. But it's actually just because I've maybe had an internal anxiety about or an issue with it because I haven't sustained many friendships like that. Right. And maybe I find, maybe I think I'm intimidating, not intimidating, but offensive, I suppose, to some males, irritating, not matching the energy of it. I mean, I think probably because I'm quite loud, outgoing... It's not typically, I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to get at? It's hard to explain around the point.
I think I understand.
It's hard to philosophise on it too much, but I am really grateful that the relationship we have has pushed me towards that.
Yeah, that's good.
And that probably links back into the first point that you made about having different interests, because if we had similar interests, it wouldn't push me out of my comfort zone in that way.
But the fact that we aren't interested, well, I am sort of interested in things you are now, but... The fact that we have different interests means that you can get on with people that also have different interests, like within my family.
Exactly. And then hopefully other relationships outside of that. Of course, I haven't had any chance to make any friends in the past year because of COVID.
I can't see anyone.
But you know that kind of thing that I mean, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you tell us the next thing you're feeling grateful for, and the final thing you're on about.
The final thing I have is I have a big family that are very prominent in my life, and you have integrated seamlessly into it. For a lot of people, that can be sort of quite, you know, intimidating, quite daunting. And at first, not even a month into our relationship, do you remember?
Mm.
There was a massive party at my house.
Yeah, we had like a garden party.
It was when Lockdown had just lifted.
Yeah, it was when we could have like 30 people in the garden.
And
it
was all my family.
It's your parents' 30th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So there were 30 members of my family that you had never met before now.
We've been together for like 3 weeks or something. It was really intense.
Yeah, it was literally like a month now. For quite a lot of people, that is a big step so soon on in a relationship. But you just managed to get on with it, and you just got on with my family so well. I'm just pleased to see that.
Mm. You find that important, I think, don't you?
It's important to me. It's important to me that you have a good relationship with my family, and I'm happy that. Even so soon on, you were just happy to get stuck in. And then you fast forward to now, you know, you've made me closer with members of my family that I would never really close with in my life.
Mm.
Like my cousin, you text her weekly now. Mm. I've texted her about 3 times in the last year. You know, it's just things like that.
Yeah.
You've brought me a lot closer to my family.
Mm.
And for that, I'm very grateful for that.
I think obviously a lot of that ties in as well. Point you made before as well about, you know, mental health and things like that and pushing you away and stuff. Yeah, for a while it's been difficult for you from that regard.
To get on with my family, because I've sort of just locked myself in my room for 3 years. So the fact that, like you say, I've come out of my shell and then you have brought me a lot closer to my family.
Mm.
So I'm very grateful for that.
I really enjoyed doing it, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm gonna immediately link it into the final thing I'm feeling grateful for, which isn't too dissimilar, which is the fact that you have a big family. Because I really don't have a big family at all.
Yeah.
I think as I must have said to you when we were very first together, and I've mentioned ever since, that the biggest Christmas I'd ever had before was about 6 people or something. Nice. Because I just do not have that big of a family. Whereas your typical Christmas is outside of COVID.
The biggest one we've had in around the table in our dining room was, I think it was like 32 people.
Which is... unfathomable to me. Like I've never even considered that many people before in any setting for me in my family, never mind Christmas in particular. So that was the idea. Sometimes can be daunting, actually. Like it's never stopped being daunting particularly, because it is a lot of people to take on.
Yeah.
And it's funny because especially during COVID, sometimes I get so used to being in such a small group
isolated,
of people.
Yeah,
and feeling isolated. So that when I remember last week after restrictions had lifted, we had something in the garden when it was really hot.
Mm.
And there was quite a few people there. And like my initial reaction, I can't help it, is to be like feel a bit reserved actually, which is unlike me.
Mm.
But I have thoroughly enjoyed becoming close with members of your family. And I think particularly because we don't have similar interests, it all comes back to that. Everyone in your family kind of in the same respect, they're not like my family either. They're very different to everyone in my family, and therefore very different to like people I'm friends with and everything like that. So again, it's more people that I just feel like, if anything's overwhelming that I've taken on board outside of our relationship, from our relationship over the past year, it's creating connections with people that I never would have made connections with, I think, maybe, had I not pushed myself out of that comfort zone and really become close to those people. Because as much as that party was going to be overwhelming through a few weeks after we've been together, I'm very good in those kind of settings.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am pretty, I'm pretty good with...
If the tables were turned, I'd be done. I definitely would not turn up to that party.
But it was good. And I think it was a really good thing, actually, to have kicked us off right at the beginning, because I think...
It's like baptism by fire.
Yeah, exactly.
You've ripped the band-aid off, so there's nothing to be worried about. You've met my whole family in one go, so what's the worry?
And you are a very family-focused person and family in general. Yeah. I mean, you have two siblings, one of them being your twin brother, both of which have... your eldest sister has a husband and your brother has his girlfriend and stuff, and we do function as couples. It kind of works in that way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is maybe unconventional for a lot of younger relationships to work in the way we do. But therefore, it is important to kind of embrace that. And I've really enjoyed doing it, because if I ever wanted anything, it was to be immersed in a massive family, because I didn't have one. I have a sister. People have heard her on the podcast before.
Got what you wished for.
But my sister's like 10. Times 10. Yeah. So it's been a really nice and unique and different experience that I'm really grateful. It's a good addition, like an add-on to a relationship. Like, that's wonderful, but it's actually also really nice to have that as well. There's something else I've always wanted.
It means a lot to me that you're so close with a lot of members of my family, because it just makes every situation 10 times easier.
Yeah, I can imagine it'd be really difficult if you were with someone who really couldn't want to be involved.
You couldn't stand with, like, say you couldn't understand, I don't know, my brother. It just makes things awkward, doesn't it?
Yeah, really difficult.
But you just get along with everyone so well.
It's one of those things, I think, that people don't sit down and think about maybe before they're in a relationship, that actually getting on with the family is important, especially young people, because I think about friends of mine that live on their own, for example, or live away from their parents. I guess maybe maybe it's different because they don't have to see family and stuff as frequently. But it is an important aspect of it, especially if you intend on sustaining the relationship long term, is that in the end they actually become let's talk, if relationships continue for years and years, families become one because of relationships and couples, don't they?
Yeah.
Your parents at one point were like us, for example. Yeah, absolutely. So that's how families are created.
Look now, they've got kids and two grandkids and partners all over.
Family, actually, outside of the person you're with, is actually incredibly important, because one day,
definitely,
if relationships continue for a long enough time, they do become your family as well.
Absolutely.
Mm. Oh, well, I've enjoyed talking to you about all these things.
Me too.
It's been funny to talk to you. I bet people find it funny to actually hear who you are and hear your voice.
I know.
There are probably people listening that know me that haven't heard your voice that much.
The man, the myth, the legend.
I know. Now everyone knows who you are.
Hi.
Well, thanks for talking.
Thank you.
And
thanks for having me on.
I'll talk to you in about 3 seconds when I press stop on the button.
I'll see you for a drink downstairs.
If you enjoyed today's episode, you can subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Our theme music is by the Honourable Emma Thorpe, our artwork is by the classy M. Jenkins, and our producer is little old me. We'll see you later in the year for the next season.